All right, John here with Effortless Provision. We are in a series in session number 8 now. And last session we talked about living in the unfolding of the now. And this one is one of my favorites, and that's detaching from outcomes. So get ready. This is going to be a good one as well. I hope you're enjoying these sessions. If it were me, I would go back and listen to them again and again, because you're going to find there are nuggets of truth that keep expounding, keep growing in your understanding. And really, that's what it's about, isn't it? I just did another message not long ago talking about the well-being economy, and that's on another just message. It's aside from Effortless Provision series, but in it, it's real interesting. When you live in the moment and you've really challenged yourself, if you will, to live in the unfolding of the present moment, because it is a challenge. I mean, most of us want to live in the future in a brighter day, but there's no brighter day than living in the present, right? You know that if you practiced it. So, you know, one of the things that came up was this idea of what does it look like to truly be present and creative, or creatively present in your creativity or your creative flow. And for many, that's a different definition, right? It's just different because they have a level of understanding. Now, that's just the terminology I use. Please don't be offended by that. You can call it maturity level. You can call it their current present paradigm. Many ways to look at this, but I just, you know, what the Lord conversed with me in the language as of right now is level of understanding, and that meaning that, you know, we're growing at different levels, and we're all have our own personalities, our own uniqueness, our own unique stories, and it's important to know that, because anytime we copycat or try to compare, that's where we get into problems, you know, in the church specifically. Is very conditioned by comparing. And it's always comparing. That's why you hear these sound bites that are so familiar. People wearing the same, you know, worship leaders wearing the same kind of knit hats, beanies. They look the same. They're the same color. And they all have the same tone inflections and music sound. And, you know, I'm not saying all, but a lot of it in certain circles, you're like, wow. That's interesting, because it looks very, very similar. Now, there's nothing wrong with looking up to somebody and kind of admiring them, but anytime we lose our uniqueness to live in a pool called comparing or comparison, then we get into some challenges that we don't necessarily need in our lives, right? I mean, there's nothing more grieving. I guess that would be a good word. Than to see people copycatting each other when you know there's explosive, unique creativity in each individual. That's why we have so many different flavors of restaurants and designer clothes choices and different types of car manufacturers, and the list goes on and on and on, because they have their own idea according to their own uniqueness of how it should look and feel and taste, right? I mean, what would this world be if we didn't have so many flavors and so many different choices and likes and desires? It'd be quite boring, wouldn't it? Because we'd all be looking alike and sounding alike. And so I think really more than anything, what happened with the great COVID disbursement in society, especially the church world, was to say, hey, guys, I'm allowing this. God, disease and sickness didn't originate from love. But it was allowed for the great disbursement to happen, to say, I'm not into cookie cutter-ish things. I'm not into denominationalizing love and relationship. I'm not into institutionalizing relational flow and interaction. I want this organic. I want it unique. I want your creativity to flourish. And under some of those conditions, it's not allowed to. And So we've the great disbursement has been allowed to get us to think again for ourselves. So when we're looking at detaching from outcomes, this is a big area in life, because depending on how we believe, depending on what our persuasion is, what our paradigm is in the moment, is dependent on how much we will hold on to an outcome or see it in a certain way or think it should come in a certain way, right? And when we do that, then we're trying to rescue or preserve our life. Anytime we want to determine an outcome, something we're believing for, whether it's a relationship, repairing a relationship, or wanting a mate, or believing that money should come a certain way, or our dream or our vision, there's a lot of talk about that, has been for decades, about dreams and visions. Well, what's the calling on your life? What's the dream for your life? What's the vision for your life? And then there's a lot of teachings that surround it. But oftentimes, because of our conditioning and our paradigm, we want or can we try to predict a certain outcome. And God is just not going to reduce himself to that level. Think about that. See, certain denominations sit there and they decree a thing. And they believe, because they have the scripture memorization down, and they keep repeating that verse, and they're determining an outcome in a certain way through a law of attraction, or a sowing and a reaping, or a belief that tractor beams it into them. And if it doesn't come in a certain way, then it was the devil holding it up, or whatever. You know, there's many different ways to look at this. And I was part of a denomination a while back, years ago, in fact, that had to believe a certain way for it to come in. When you have faith, believe when you pray. And when you believe when you pray, then that thing that you're believing for has to come in that exact way. And by the way, I'm going to call it to come in when I want it to come. And then when you did all the right formulas and it didn't happen, then you're either accused of not having faith, or it was the devil that threw a monkey wrench into it. Something along those lines, okay? Maybe not exact, but something along those lines. And what it did was it discouraged a whole lot of people that felt like their faith wasn't adding up, or there's some kind of sin in their life, or that God just didn't care, didn't hear them, or that the devil was just too strong, holding everything up. Can I just tell you that is formalized relational activity. Anytime we slap a formula on relationship, it doesn't work out too well, does it? It's called dictation. It's called dictator rule, or it's called autocratic leadership, however you want to coin it. In other words, it's trying to manipulate an outcome when God says, listen, when you lose your life for my sake, you'll gain it. So leave the gaining outcomes up to me. Leave the outcome to me. Absorb yourself in creativity and leave the outcome to me. The time, the when, the how, the where, the how much, the who. Because I guarantee you it's always going to be better when we do that. Always. Always, always, always. Love has our best interests in hand and at heart. And love knows what's best for us for the time we need it. And because we're always evolving and growing and developing and changing our paradigms, then we are brought things that we need that we didn't know we need at the time we need it, right? You can look back at your own life and see that happening. I certainly can. I would have never guessed in a million years that I would have met Amy in the way that I did. You know, over 20 years ago, I met the love of my life in a bookstore when I was at one of the lowest points of my life. So was I believing for this wonderful mate to come along and standing on the scripture and standing on faith and calling it in and calling it forth and eradicating sin out of my life at every little nuance of it? No, not at that time. That time I was pretty beat down from being in ministry, being ravaged in a certain type of ministry. And I was at a low point. And boom, in walks grace in the form of beauty. Exactly what I needed for my life. And did I know that at the time? Of course not. See, my friends, when we're engaged in living in the moment, see, God did that out of his, I believe God did that out of his timing, but also out of his sovereignty and his great love for me, knowing that I couldn't do it for myself. But here's the point. When we live in the bliss and the joy of daily, moment by moment, relationship with him and letting things unfold, and we're engaged in our creative flow, whatever that is, having fun, having more fun than ever. That's the key word, fun, fun, fun. When we're having fun, then we get lost in the bliss of the moment in our relationship with him, that we're completely content and satisfied and just having fun creating, co-creating, that all of a sudden a magnetism starts happening, and then we're like, whoa, where did that come from? Whoa, what did, oh, hello, here you are, or here it is, there it is. I would have never predicted that outcome in a million years. Exactly. And then you don't question where it came from. God. God brings it in, and it would. There's no other way to look at it. Like, I couldn't have put that together in a million years. Of course. That's exactly. Exactly. That's what love wants to do for us. Love wants to surprise us with all good things. And because it's the generous nature of who he is, it is the best lifestyle to live presently in the moment, having fun creating. You know, in the book, Effortless Provision, you know, if you've read it in the last artery, it's kind of like a chapter, but it's called The Chamber of Creativity. There is such, I wish you could have saw what I've seen, and I pray you do. I pray you see it in your own unique way. The colors in the chamber of the artery of creativity was just off the charts. Beautiful colors that I've never seen on planet Earth. Shades and variants and degrees and depths and shine of colors that are just unimaginable in this side of the veil. I mean, stuff that just, wow, they were living and moving and having their being in him. And they were speaking, they were rejoicing, they were musical, these colors. And they were swirling all around me and swirly, popping in and out. Those of you know swirly, you'll get it in the book. Popping in and out and just swirling around, dancing around and laughing and having fun. And the more that I thought creativity or thought about it or engaging in creativeness, the more they danced, the more they laughed, the more they sang, the more they saturated you in intoxicating love. And it was like this massive approval. It's hard to describe, but it was like I was feeling the approval of Jesus himself saying, yes, 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 yes. Creativity is what you were born for, every single person on the planet, to co-create with me, to have fun and enjoy it, and to show the entire planet how wonderful I am through creative flow. Do you know how much joy God gets when you do something that you really love doing? Do you understand that he is always smiling and laughing and rejoicing over you when you co-create with him? Meaning that if you love to knit, and you enjoy it, and it gives you energy, it gives you an unspeakable peace. It gives you this, it lights you up to knit, to sew. Some people are wired that way, and that's wonderful. What would we do without people that could sew clothes, right? If that's you, do you know how much joy he gets by watching and engaging that creativity with you? Oh, it's off the charts. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And you're like, well, I wish I could do that, John. I wish I could engage him. I'm too busy trying to make a living. I'm too busy surviving on my job. I have to feed 5 kids. And yeah, that's nice for you, John. That's nice. Okay, one day when they're all out of the house, then I'll, engage in my creativity, my sewing. Friends, if you think that way, it just means that you're still growing and you're in survival mode, and that's okay. But I will say this. If you even give it 10 minutes, the smile of Jesus upon your life, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, a half hour, whatever you have in the middle of the night, if need be, or early in the morning, you engage that and then you look and you wait and you receive the smile of Jesus, because I guarantee you He is, you'll see it more clearly than ever, and then it'll cause you and compel you to do more of it. You'll find more time throughout the day. You'll find more time from 10 to 12 at night when the kids are asleep. You know what I mean? Because once you see the smile of Jesus and the chamber of creativity inside of you, the creativeness, the creative flow, the causing something new to birth in the earth, I tell you, once you see the smile, you will never be the same. And you'll never look at it the same way. So whatever voice you've been conditioned by that says, oh, you can't do that, or you can't live your dream, or you can't engage in something that you love, this is where remaining in receiving mode, being saturated by the love of God as much as possible, will transform you and cause you to see differently. It'll heal your neurological system, heal your belief system, heal your paradigms, and begin to open you up to what you were actually created and designed for. That, and this has nothing to do with effort, friends. Has nothing to do with side hustle. Nothing to do with going out and trying to make a living doing it. See, because that would be predictive of outcomes. That would mean that you're trying to predict how much money you're going to make, how much you're going to bring in, who's going to bring it, how you're going to do it. It's all efforting marketing. And when we effort in the marketing, we are predicting an outcome, or trying to. And that's not living in the moment. That's just not living present. And I tell you, where the real excitement comes is living in the moment and the unfolding and not predicting outcomes, being absorbed in the creative flow as often as possible, and watch what heart coherent magnetism brings back into your life without your own effort. See, being creative has nothing to do with trying to make a living. In other words, if you're being creative to try and pull a living in, it's the wrong kind of mindset, or it's a skewed type of mindset. Why is that? Because if you're engaging in creative flow, to make an outcome or to make a living or to determine an outcome, then it's not really pure creativity. Oh yes, you can do it through effort. Of course, many people do. But you lose the joy of creating when you do that. Have you ever noticed? Have you noticed that basketball stars, sports stars, performers, doesn't matter who it is, for the love of the sport, they were engaged in it, right? Most of them. Many. There's some that want to do it to be a superstar and an all-star and, you know, fame and money and all that. But I think a lot of people that are really good at it loved the sport. And when they lost the joy of it for the money, for the performance, for the accolades and the fame, that's when life gets miserable. So that's predicting an outcome, friends. That is determining or trying to determine an outcome. Like if I, for example, if I train my brains out to be a basketball or football star or a hockey star, whatever it is, I train my brains out, then if I do it for X amount of hours, X amount of years, then I get good enough, then I'll be noticed by the scouts, and then the scouts will give me a full ride scholarship, and then I'll make it to the big time, the big leagues, and then I can buy mama a house because she's always been suffering in survival mode and I can't stand to see that anymore. So I'm gonna hustle my way through it, and when I hustle my way and get my way, then I will be able to bring a level of peace to my family and security. But why do I feel so miserable? Yeah, that's the question. Why do you? Because you lost the love of creativity. You lost the love of flow. You lost the love of the sport. You lost the love of your gifting. You lost the love of your creativity. And because you lost the love of it, then you've determined outcomes and it becomes a formula. And then when the formula doesn't work anymore, you're left in your own misery. See, but on the flip side, when we live in the now, when we live in the present, and we let the business plan of living in the present moment unfold, that's the highest business plan, by the way, in my opinion. When we let that unfold, then you get divine favor, divine appointments, supernatural happenings, suddenlies that you could have never predicted. And then you escalate and accelerate beyond your wildest dreams. And you're going, whoa, okay, wow, I didn't see that coming. That was really good for my growth. Because really, what is it all about? Is it about gaining more material things? No. Is it about getting famous? No. Is it about more influence? Not necessarily. Is it about meeting the security needs and safety needs of my family? No. What it's about is enjoying life to its fullest, co-creating with the Creator Himself, to where you're lost in the bliss of that, and then all of the sudden, heart coherence links up the Wi-Fi signal, and then you're pulling in things without your own strength or effort that you could have only dreamed of. Right? So, that is the very interesting part. That is the very interesting life that can unfold when we detach from the outcomes. So, if you're looking for outcomes and you're trying to determine outcomes, that's where the source of your frustration lies when it pertains to making money or trying to get ahead or trying to get out of a job you can't stand or live the life of your dreams. Living the best life now kind of thing. There's more truth to that than was first thought, right? Living my best life now. Well, yeah, if you live presently in the now, you are living your best life. If you're living present, living and unfolding and detaching from outcomes, that is your best life. Why? Because Jesus smiles in that, and the full force of His presence, the full force of that magnetic flow and heart coherence begins to do its work for you and I. And that's the beautiful thing, my friends. So, if you've been looking for an effortless way of going about life, this is it. This is it. And it takes time. It takes a little practice. But once we posture ourselves there and keep doing it, keep doing it, keep practicing, keep doing it day by day, and wake up in the morning, how we set our day determines how things are going to flow our way. And that's what we're going to talk about in the next session. Setting up our day.